Wow. Thank you. And it worked. He said, you see how easy it is to hear from God and he answered anyway. It's been a great series, and I don't know, I don't know if you've ever really thought about the fact that the God of the universe really does want to have a relationship with you. I don't know how you would answer that question. Can you really know God? And can you know him in a personal way? I mean, how would you answer that? I mean, if I said to you today, just kind of turn to your neighbor, I won't do this because I know it'd be kind of like, actually, I would do this, but you know, I'm not going to do it. If I say, hey, look, tell your neighbor why you know that God is real or that you can have a relationship with him and that it's personal, would you be able to explain that? It's kind of crazy to think about, isn't it? Or what if I said, turn to your neighbor and tell them one personal fact about yourself that no one else knows? Could you think of one? That'd be kind of personal, wouldn't it? You could introduce yourself. You could kind of make friends. If I, this week, Kevin and Dawn sitting here on the front row, you didn't know I was going to say your name out loud. But, you know, if I had Kevin, we had dinner together this week, and I got to know them in a more personal way than I used to know them. You know why? Because we took the time, we spent time together, and we made a date, and we set an appointment, and then we got together, and it was a pretty cool couple hours, and I know them differently than I know today. So when we throw around words like personal, I just want you to think about this for a second. What does it really mean to have a personal relationship with God? And is it possible that God wants to have a relationship with you? Think about that. That's crazy to me. It is so impossible to even like wrap our heads around to say, what does personal even mean when it comes to God? Well, it means that he really wants to know us on an individual level, that we belong to him and he belongs to us. Kind of like if you had, some personal information or personal property, you would say, this belongs to me. And you need to know that God created you and you belong to him and he loves you. Is it possible for you to have that kind of relationship with God to where you say, yeah, man, this is private. This is something that's mine. This is something that I know is real. It's personal. That I'm known and I can be known, that I can know and be known by God. That's amazing to me that we can actually relate to the creator of the universe. And I got to admit, even just standing here today, it's been challenging. It's been fun. I mean, I don't know, just preparing for this message this week to kind of explain or put into words in a public way what really just kind of happens and is going on in a very personal way. I really appreciate Chad's words a few minutes ago just to be able to say some very personal things. How do you explain publicly what's going on personally? It's like trying to explain my relationship with a friend or even more deeply my relationship with my wife, Lisa. How do you explain the love and the way that it manifests itself through the experiences, through the feelings and the emotions, through the ups and the downs and trials and celebrations of life, the investments that we put in. I could go back and tell you how we met. I could go back and tell you what I love about her. I could go back and tell you about what we had for dinner last night and what we talked about. But to really explain, wow, how do you do that? It's kind of crazy to think about, isn't it? But I can tell you this, it's personal to us. And even more crazy is it's personal to each of us, our marriage, in an individual way, to me and to her. Our relationship with God could be that way. And even if I could share it, it's still personal to me alone. And it's intense. And it's unique. And it's intimate, even mysterious. And I don't understand it any more than I understand my marriage. But I can tell you it's real. I can tell you it's us, and I can tell you it's awesome, and I wouldn't want to wake up without it. You know, when it comes to God, even in some even more supernatural, mysterious, even preposterous way, to imagine that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the infinite, uncreated being, wants to know you in a personal way, just like that. I know it's crazy, but I believe with all my heart and with all my mind that it's true. History tells us so. Jesus shows us so. God makes it so. And there are so many people in this room today that if you were to ask them if it's real, they would say, yes, it's real. We know that it's real. We know that it's, yes, it's intense, it's unique, it's intimate, it's personal, and it's real. In some supernatural way, we might not even understand it, but we could tell you that we believe with all our hearts that it's true. And we like it. It's awesome. It's amazing. I'd like to propose to you today just to kind of give some thought to the idea that once and for all and forever, you can know God as a personal God. The God of the Bible, the God we've been singing to, the God that we worship, the God that we pray to is a personal God. And furthermore, that God, the personal God that we know and understand in the Bible, wants you to know him personally. And there's a way to do it. How can we know God in a personal way? Well, first of all, the facts. You know, maybe you know this, maybe you can recite the same verses that I can, but you need to know that God is personal. We've been talking about these attributes for a couple months now, but God is a personal God. In fact, his character, his very nature tells us that he is personal, even within himself. When we read about the biblical God, we discover that he actually exists in a personal way within himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we call it the Trinity or the Godhead. It's very mysterious, very powerful. But God has always and eternally existed as one, yet three different persons. We learn that in his own character, he is personal, that he is personal with his own creation, that God made everything, including man, to interact with personally, to know and to be known by those and that those things that he created. We also know that God is accessible, that he has made himself available to us, that we can know him, we can go to him. There's no entourage, there's no bodyguards. We don't need a priest or a preacher or any kind of pretense to go to the living God on our own. To go to the mountain of God. You don't even have to come to church to hear from me, to hear from God. You can go home and pray. You can stop right now and just pray and be in his presence. He is accessible. And God describes himself with his personhood and this whole idea of being personified. As you read through scripture, you see he uses words like eyes of God and ears and hands and feet because he wants us to be able to relate to him and understand that he is personal, personal, personal. As we talked about weeks ago, on Christmas, God's perhaps his most strongest and greatest attribute is that he is love, which tells us he is very, very personal. God is love, and he made you with a personal love, to love you in a very, very personal way. We see this all throughout history. You open up your Bibles throughout the pages, and it starts very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning where God created man, an image in his likeness. He put his personal touch on each and every one of us, starting with Adam and Eve. And look at what it says in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. You see, he exists. I believe this is pointing right towards the fact that God has coexisted with the Father and the Spirit and the Son throughout history. In our likeness, so that they may rule. And he's talking about man over all the creatures. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And then he takes it one step further. He blesses them in a very personal way. He puts his blessing on Adam, and then he starts to speak to them. Look what he says, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and increase in number. We see from the very beginning how personal God is. And then all through Genesis, all through the very first book of the Bible, we see God being personal with his people. He is called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob in a very personal way. In fact, in James chapter 2, Abraham himself is called a friend of God. Don't you love that? That personal language. Israel, the nation, is called my people. We know that God got very personal with Moses. He spoke to Moses. He called Moses. He worked through Moses. As you read through those books in which Moses is, it's just amazing to watch how personal God is with him. And King David, you read, just as an example, most of us know who King David is, how he got personal with God and God with him, and he was called a man after God's own heart. And if you read through the Psalms, you see this just kind of just coming alive through David's life. The prophets, I love how God got personal with these men. As you read through Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the minor, you see it's just an amazing way that God is personal. I love Zephaniah chapter 3, one of my favorite verses. It says that God rejoices over us. That he looks and smiles, and that is a personal love and rejoicing that God does over you and over me. He interacts with us. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, I love just so much we could pull out of these scriptures, but one thing God says to Jeremiah is, who will devote himself? Who will devote himself to be close to me? Who will devote himself to be close to me? Great question, declares the Lord. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. It's personal. Look at Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart a heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Listen to these personal words through the prophet Ezekiel. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from your uncleanness. And he wants you to know him in a personal way, just like he did in Jesus. Look at Jesus. And if you don't have to look any further than the Son of God, the ultimate way that God became personal and shows his personal love for us, the good news, to fix a broken relationship with man, he personally became flesh and he lived among us. He went through things that we go through to relate to us, to show us how personal he is. And believing in his only son, Jesus, we can have eternal life. God is personal. Personal. And he wants you to know him personally, in a personal way. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, or if you've gotten a phone call like this, but if I got a phone call this week saying, hey, Mr. Caputo, we've heard that you are interested in getting to know, I'm just going to throw out a name, Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. And Ben would like to personally invite you to the Super Bowl in a couple weeks when the Steelers are going to be playing, whoever it is they're going to be playing. And Mr. Roethlisberger would like you to join him on his private jet and get played at a game. He's going to bring you into the locker room. He's going to, you know, and then you guys, he would really like to know you because he heard that you are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I've never got a phone call like that. And he set me up in the VIP, the press box, you know, and he said, you know, look, before, during, you know, maybe during that game, you can come down to the sideline. After the game, we'll kind of hang out. I want you to get to know me. I want to get to know you. I want to begin this relationship. And I got to be honest, that even though I've never got that phone call, Super Bowl Sunday, you might not see me if I got that phone call. I may be on a jet. But anyway, have you ever got a phone call like that from a world leader, a celebrity, somebody like to just be in his presence, to be able to get to know somebody maybe you don't know, or maybe it's somebody that's sitting here with you today. I got to tell you something. This is just, it just comes to life in my mind when I think about it. God wants you to know him. God has given you that phone call. God has made that call available to you. You can join him. He wants to be with you. He wants you to know him in a personal and exciting way. Would you go to him if he called you right now? Would he say, yes, I'm in. I'm all in. Let me do this. Throughout all creation, he calls you. Look around. Look at what he's made. Through creation, it makes him known to us. Through his story, he wrote all of history to point to so that we could seek and find and know the living God. Through Jesus himself, he came to earth so that we could know and understand that he's calling us, so that we could know him personally. And in Jesus, we do see him. And those words, man, you guys have Bibles? You have these Bibles? I don't know if you've got words in red in your Bibles, but those are the words of Jesus in your Bibles. And they just explode off the page. And the words of God himself in the flesh have changed the world and continue to change lives for 2,000 years in a way that we can know God. Through Jesus, we get to know him in a personal way because Jesus lived a perfect life before our eyes. He died on the cross to save us from our sins, and he rose again from the dead to give us life now and for eternity with the God who loves us. Some of those words in red are found in the book of John. And I just want you to take a look at John chapter 14. In fact, this week, if you had to pick three chapters in the Bible to read this week, I hope that you would just turn in your New Testaments to the book of John. It's the story of Jesus, and just begin to read. And when you get to John 14 and 15 and 16, read those specifically. Look what Jesus says. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Verse 6. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. He says, because anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Listen to these personal words of Jesus. You want to know God, know Jesus. Listen to what he says. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. He's speaking to his disciples who have seen him do what no one else but God could do. To heal, to teach, to live a perfect life in front of their eyes. Believe on the evidence. And Jesus is telling us, if you want to know God personally, know him personally. And then later in verse 25, he says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. You got the call. You got the call from Jesus. When you want to know God personally, get to know his son. Get to know his son. And his son promised us that he would give us something else, the Holy Spirit, that God would actually personally, literally, supernatural, come and live inside of those who trust in Jesus, who repent of their sins, who are baptized into Christ. We become the temple of the living God, where he dwells, where we are made new by the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of the living God. It doesn't get any more personal than that. He wants to come and live inside of our personal space. He will move inside and he will work and change us and renovate our lives from the inside out. Galatians 4, Paul says this, but when the set time had come, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive, listen to these personal, we might receive his adoption into sonship. He adopts us. And because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. In a personal way, we get to call him Daddy, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, he has made you also an heir. You see what God's word says? We get to be the sons and daughters of the living God and know him personally in that way. God has given us his word so that we can know that. The Spirit led men to write this book and preserve these ancient documents. We get to read them today just as if they were written yesterday. And it's so that we can personally get to know God and the Holy Spirit will bring the Bible to life in our lives, his truth. What a gift. I hope you love the Bible. I hope you're reading it because that's how we can get to know God. He works together through his word and the Spirit and the Son so that we can get to know God personally and in some pretty cool ways too. Just some examples. I'm not going to talk very long about these, but hopefully you know that God describes himself and we can get to know God personally as Lord and as King of our lives, that we can know him as a friend, that we can know him as a friend, that we can know him as a father. And even more intimately, even more intensely, something that's crazy to me is that he calls you and I, the church, the bride of Christ, and he is the groom. Man, he wants to spend his life with you as a groom in the most intimate and beautiful way you can possibly imagine. These are the ways God helps us to understand how he wants you to know him personally as Lord and friend and father and groom. And it's going to happen in this mysterious, intense, unique, even intimate, personal way for each and every one of us, a real way, undeniable way. And I don't know if this makes sense. It's so hard to explain, but it's real. It is. It's undeniable. And it is awesome. And it's something I hope you want more than anything else in the world. So how can you do? How can you do this? How can you personally know? Can you personally know God for yourself? Well, hopefully you know that we can. And it's not as hard as you think. First of all, go back to Jesus. Go back to the life of Christ and see God in the flesh and get to know Jesus and get to know God. I want to encourage you again, go back to John 14, 15, 16. Read that this week. You see, Jesus shows us how a personal relationship with God looks. And if we look at that model, the model of Jesus, we can have a personal relationship with him too. You see, Jesus knew the word of God and we can too. In fact, he was the word, and we can know him. He got away with his father to pray. We see him doing that, and we too can get away with God and pray. We can get real with him, just like he did in John 14 and 15 and 16. You read the prayers of Jesus, and you go, you know what? I can pray just like that. He loved. He taught. He served. And if you want to get to know Jesus and get to know God personally through Jesus, get on mission with Jesus. You'll get to know him real personal if you're walking with him every day on mission for him. We talk about this almost every week, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, to go and to make disciples, to baptize and to teach everything and to obey what he's told us to do. We get to know him through the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we know that he is with us always to the end of the age. Get on mission with Jesus, man. You're going to get to know him personally. Peter knew that. In fact, in Acts 2, we talked about this even last week. He says that knowing God personally begins not only by making disciples, but by being a disciple, by repenting of our sins, by turning away from our old life and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. God comes in a personal way to each and every one of us. We get to know him, fall in love with him, give our lives to him and follow him. And if we will walk in the Spirit, like places in Galatians 5 say we're the fruit of the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to experience him in everyday ways. Everyday ways. And I know that's tough, but think about it. You want a relationship with God, it might get difficult sometimes. It's going to take time. It might not be easy. But you're going to need to set aside time to get to know him personally. Just like I did with Dawn and Kevin. You're going to have to take time and effort and energy to talk, to listen, to make a relationship a priority if you're going to grow more and more in love with him and for him. Maybe, unfortunately today, sometimes, like in our marriage or like any relationship, when it gets hard or maybe it gets too easy or maybe too familiar, we do stop growing, or maybe you lose heart. You know, there's times where I just want to quit trying to know him. Maybe it's from the brokenness that Chad talked about earlier. Maybe life, maybe changes, maybe tragedy has kind of taken you out of the game, caused you to be wherever you are. I know. It's personal, isn't it? It's possible that you've been following Jesus for years and your first love for him has just kind of gotten lost. Maybe you don't know why or how. But you've just kind of gotten used to all this. Yeah, come sing, come read, you know, do your thing. It's easy to just go through the motions and you take him for granted. And your relationship with him it's grown distant. You've grown apart. I know. It's personal. Maybe it's time for you to get personal with a God who wants to get personal with you. Because he does. And he is. The fire of God is there. Maybe you thought it's gone out, but it's still burning and raging in his heart. God is fresh. He didn't go out. He didn't get stale. He didn't move away. Maybe you did. So come on now. I mean this. I say this to myself. I want to say this to you today. Let's just get that spark going again. Let's refresh the relationship with God. Let's renew that love. Let's make it personal and get personal. You can do it. God has done his part. If we will do our part, let's do it together. We can experience the joy and the love and the personal experience with God that all of us want. We know that we want it because he has put it inside of us to want it. He wants to get personal with us. And it's personal with him right here. He's now. He's right. He might be even just right now, just telling you from the inside out, chasing you down, letting you know that he wants to get personal with you because you are personal to him. He is the creator and lover of your soul, the one who wants what is best for you. Revelation 21, at the very end of the Bible, verses 5-7, it says, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new, including your relationship with him. He will make everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He says, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And listen to these personal words. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. And I will be their God. And they will be my children. Don't you want that? Today, maybe the time for you and for me to just once and for all and forever claim this promise. God wants you to know him personally. His words, his life, his victory. To be his children. It begins with reading his Bible, reading the Word of God, please. I pray nothing else would take priority over his Word. This is his love letter to you, his instruction manual. It's all right here. It might not be easy, but you can do it. Just open up the Bible and fall in love with him through the words of Jesus. Talk to God, pray to God, just try, write. Maybe today is a day you just say, you know what, I'm not really much of a writer, but I'm going to start writing down some of the things that he's telling me through the Word or through my prayers and maybe some of my thoughts back and forth to him. I want to encourage you to take God seriously, his command of Sabbath, to take some moments away with God every day, maybe even a whole day of the week, just to say, I'm going to get away, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to rest in him. I'm going to get to know him free from the distractions. I dare you to turn your phone off. I dare you to turn your computers, your TVs. I dare you to get away from your families, even your families, for a few minutes, a day, a week, and experience God in that way. Walk with him, see him, look at the stars, experience the outdoors, see how he is speaking and wants to know you in a personal way. Serve him. Love others. Find a way to give away what he's given to you, and you'll experience him and know him in a personal way. Be thankful for what he has given us, and worship him. Worship him. Don't settle for worshiping like somebody else. Man, worship him for you and with to a personal God who loves you, to bring it all to him, as Jesse talked about earlier. Abide in him. Let him be inside of you and you with him. As John 14 says, Jesus is just praying that prayer that we would abide in Christ. And for myself, and maybe for you, that means that I need to make a plan. I need to make a priority. I need to begin, even today, by saying I'm going to get away. Maybe using the sermon notes that are in your bulletin. There's some ideas in there for you. Maybe going back to John 14 again, 15 and 16, and read it out. Just make a plan. Maybe get a help from your small group. Maybe go to your leader, maybe your mentor, maybe a friend that you know that is walking with God, and say, hey, can you help me do this? And I want to encourage you to tell someone else your plan. Ask them to pray for you, to hold you accountable, to say, hey, look, I really wanted to get to know God in a personal way. Ask me how I'm doing tomorrow. Ask me if I did what I said I want to do, and keep it simple. Keep it real. It's personal. Expect to connect. I want to show you just some words from a girl that maybe you can relate to, just like I did. How can we know God? Watch this video for just a minute, and then we'll wrap up. So you want to try? Just try. Try getting alone with him. Maybe even now. You know, Tim told me, get him out of here today. Don't let him sit. But you know what? If you need to sit here for a while today after the service, people will come in around you. That's okay. Just sit. Maybe you need to take the long way home or visit, you know, just somewhere on our campus in a room or somewhere just to get alone with God, even before you get in the car and start thinking about what's going to happen next. Maybe first thing tomorrow morning. Maybe this week. Say, hey, look, this can happen. Try praying. Try getting into the Word. I want to encourage you to have faith and be real and just expect God to do something maybe he's never done before. Take the time. Those words will come alive to you in the Scriptures, I promise. It's going to start making sense, and you'll be able to experience God in a personal way, as Lord, as Father, as friend. I'm going to ask you to, if you need prayer for anything, maybe our prayer counselors, our prayer people will be up here. We'll be able to meet with you. If you want to talk during the week or maybe even today with myself, our staff, our elders, we're here to do that. Maybe the person sitting next to you today or the person that invited you to worship today will be willing to share with you. If you just ask, hey, how do you have a relationship with God? And get in it together. Get in it together. Just try. Just try. Why don't you stand with me? Let's have a word of closing prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, this is so hard to explain, but I thank you, God, for what you've done in my life and in the life of so many other people here. God, we give you praise. Would you help us to know you even better than we do now? Help us to know you, God. We love you. We praise you. Right now, today, tomorrow, and the next couple days, I pray that you would come alive in our life in a way that is just amazing through your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for dying for us and for giving us a chance to know God through you and to live for you because of what you did for us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.